from 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. We're speaking about Jesus here, dear friends. Thanks for tuning in. For the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, it's February 10th, 2015. We'll jump in right where we left off yesterday, as Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course, was addressing the topic, How Can I Be Sure of My Faith? So as you listen now, my prayer, hope, and desire is that by the conclusion of today's broadcast, you'll be reassured of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or may step into that area where you begin a faith journey following the Lord Jesus Christ. For you senior saints, I hope this will be an encouraging message. And for wherever you're at on that faith journey, may this message reinforce your faith and commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Today and yesterday's broadcast, with the theme, How Can I Be Sure of My Faith?, is archived at greatnewsradio.org for your convenience to listen again anytime, to pass on to a friend, or if you missed a portion, I'd highly recommend you log on and listen to this message in its entirety. Here's Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course.
Would you like to turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 23? St. Paul writes this, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or as some versions put it, the free gift of God. I don't know what you feel when you hear the expression free gift. But if you're anything like me, I'm cynical about free gifts. Because we get, don't we? Now you get them on your phone. You won £1 million. There are circulars that come around offering free gifts endlessly. And we always think, there's a catch. Well, we know there's a catch. I came back from holiday one time and found this circular. It said, N. Gumbel's potential million. Mr. N. Gumbel, will you be the UK winner? Mr. N. Gumbel is one of the lucky London SW4 residents selected. Dear Mr. Gumbel, why have we selected you? Because we believe you deserve it. It's nice, isn't it? After all, you've been working long and hard for your share of the good things in life. I don't think they realised I was a vicar. It's time you were rewarded. You could be holding the winning number right now, Mr. N. Gumbel. I think they thought the more they repeated my name, the more impressive it would be. The Gumbel certificate is yours and yours alone. Act now, Mr. N. Gumbel, and you can have it all. Believe me when I tell you that there is no catch, Mr. N. Gumbel. And then I looked to see what I had really won, and that was a free data master. How was I going to get hold of this? Enter me in the $1 million, I don't know why it's dollars in England, dream sweepstake and rush my free data master and begin my 40-week subscription to Time magazine. There's a catch. So I went to the next letter in the post, which was addressed not to me, but to my wife. And the headline of this was, A Fabulous Award for You, Mrs. Gumbel. Is it a check for $15,000 or is it a Ford Mondeo? Great news, you really are a winner in our Empire Star Prize draw. She had actually won something. So exciting. What had she won? Here we are. Free gift. Salt and pepper cruet set. This charming pair of chickens sit comfortably nesting in a wicker basket lined in a colourful gingham cloth. A delightful addition to your dining table. Yours free if your order is over £40. There's always a catch, but not with God's gift. God's gift is free. It's not cheap, but it's free to us. It costs Jesus everything. Would you like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21? The Apostle Paul writes this. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Last week, we looked at a verse in the Old Testament from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, which says this: all we like sheep have gone astray. This represented us. This represented the things that we'd done wrong. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And I said, let this hand represent Jesus Christ, who never did anything wrong. And what the verse says is, on the cross, the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The Apostle Paul adds something in this verse. Let this white handkerchief represent the righteousness of Christ. Jesus lived a sinless life. He never did anything wrong. He was righteous in God's eyes. There was nothing between him and God. He had a perfect relationship with God the Father. What this verse says is that God made him on the cross, this is God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. On the cross, Jesus took our sin. He made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that amazing? An exchange took place, which means it's possible for us, because of what Jesus did, to be in a right relationship. That's what righteousness means, a right relationship with God, and as a result, right relationships with other people. So that God looks at us in the same way that he looked at his own son, Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. It's almost unbelievable. So how do we receive this gift that God offers? We receive it by repentance and faith. Repentance is turning away from the bad stuff, the stuff that messes up our lives. God doesn't ask us to leave behind things that are good for us, but things that they may be outwardly attractive, but things that he knows actually damage our lives. What we leave behind is nothing compared to what we receive, and it's nothing compared to what Jesus gave up on the cross. But we do have to turn away from the bad stuff. That's repentance. We receive by repentance and then faith. What is faith? Faith is trust. Everybody exercises faith. You're all exercising faith tonight. By sitting on these chairs, you're exercising faith. You're putting your trust in those chairs by sitting on them. In a deeper way, when two people get married, they exercise faith. When you say, I will, you're entrusting your life to another person. That's faith. Blondin, whose real name is Jean-François Gravelet, was born in 1824. And he's a tightrope walker. He was an acrobat. And his favorite thing was to walk on a tightrope above the Niagara Falls, 160 foot above the Niagara Falls, 1,100 foot of tightrope. And he would walk across. I think he did it 17 times in all, and do different things each time he did it. One time, a royal party came over from England to watch it, and it included the Duke of Newcastle. And on this particular occasion, what Blondin did was, having walked across and back, he then took a wheelbarrow, and he wheeled that across and back. And there was a huge crowd there cheering him. And Blondin went up to the party, the royal party, and he said, look, do you believe that I could put somebody in the wheelbarrow and wheel them across? And they all said yes. The Duke of Newcastle said yes. And he turned to the Duke of Newcastle and he said, hop in. Now that is faith. It would have been foolish. He didn't, incidentally, hop in. But he was wise not to. Because, well, certainly I wouldn't want to put my faith in a tightrope walker. But putting your faith in Jesus is a wise move, because Jesus is utterly trustworthy. Somebody who was in our small group on Alpha one time, and sometime afterwards his mother died, and he asked me to take the funeral. And the day after the funeral, he wrote to me, and he said this. He said, during the funeral service, I suddenly understood what it meant to be a Christian. In those 30 minutes, my eyes were fully open for the first time. I realized why I had not been racked with grief and bitterness at the loss of my mother. Sure, I had cried and I was saddened, but I know that her faith in Jesus Christ had saved her and that she would enjoy eternal life. I'd seen it in her eyes just before she died last Thursday, and yesterday I felt the realization flood through me, warm and rich and comforting. It was then that I finally understood the enormity of the sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross, that we really can have eternal life in heaven through him. That's the second leg of the tripod. The third leg is the witness of the Holy Spirit. So the Word of God, the work of Jesus, thirdly, the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's based on him and not on us. If you ask me the question, how do I know I'm married? I can point to a marriage certificate, I can point to an event that took place here, but the third thing that I can point to is 28 years of experience of marriage. And if you ask me how I know I'm a Christian, I can point to this book, to the event that took place in history, but I could also point to experience. We looked at this verse where Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." Actually, it's not Jesus who comes in. It's the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus comes in by his Spirit. Jesus can only be in one place at one time. But the Spirit of God can be everywhere. And the Spirit of God can come into your life and my life. What happens when he comes in? Well, he begins to transform us. And some of these things you can see objectively. Would you like to turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22? Paul writes this. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Sometimes people say, I'm a bit worried. What would happen if I became a Christian? They say, I don't want to change. And if I did change, how would I change? Here's the answer. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. These are the characteristics that begin to develop in our lives. It doesn't happen overnight. Charlie Mackesy is a good friend of ours. He's the artist who's done what are they called? What are they called, Charlie? Pictures. That's the one. No, they're called something else. Cartoons. That's the one. Cartoons in the manual. He's once played a practical joke on me. Because somebody had given us a pear tree. And we planted it in our garden. And I was so excited about this because I thought, this is the good life. I'll be eating pears. And I'd go out into the garden and look to see whether the pears were growing. And of course, they weren't. And Charlie knew I did this. So one day he got a Granny Smith apple and he sewed it onto the tree. And I am stupid, but I'm not that stupid. But the point is that you don't get a fully grown fruit overnight. It takes time to grow. And these fruit of the Spirit in our lives, they take time. And in my case, they're taking a very long time. But hopefully, as life goes on, we become more loving, more joyful, more kind, more patient. Then our relationships change. One of the things that I noticed, and I don't know whether any of you have begun to notice this, even maybe in the last couple of weeks, my attitude to God changed, to Jesus. Before, to me, Jesus was a swear word. Or if I heard Jesus on the radio, I'd switch to some other thing. Because I wasn't interested in religion. Suddenly, when I heard about Jesus, I turned it up. Because I was in a relationship with him. I knew him. I was interested. Relationship with other Christians changed. Before I was a Christian, other Christians, I avoided them. I was deeply suspicious of them. I thought they were weird. I thought they were really odd. I thought they were really sad people. At the university I was at, they used to have porridge parties. I mean, who has porridge parties? But then I became a Christian and I went to a porridge party. And I discovered that actually they were amazing people. My attitude to other people, even just people who I never met before, changed. I remember, again, Charlie saying that, how his attitude to other people changed. He felt this love for people. I remember him telling me one time he walked into an off-license and he felt this overwhelming love for the person serving him, not just because of what he was serving him. But that is a love that comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's a love that drives us to make a difference to our world. This is not just a kind of selfish thing that we feel great. It's that we're given a desire and a passion to do something about our world and to make a difference to our world. This is not an easy thing. Being a Christian is never going to be an easy thing. It's hugely challenging, hugely exciting, but it's not easy. And then, not only are there objective changes, there's also a subjective experience. The Holy Spirit brings a deep personal conviction that we are children of God. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 16, that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. What's the difference between faith and knowledge? Let me use this illustration. I told you that I used to practice as a barrister. One time, I did a mixture of prosecuting and defending. But this particular occasion, I was prosecuting at Knightsbridge Crown Court. And I was prosecuting somebody for stealing jewellery from Harvey Nichols. £10,000 worth of jewellery. And the only evidence against this man were his fingerprints. Well, since no two people, even identical twins, don't have the same fingerprints, normally if they're fingerprints, a person pleads guilty. But this man didn't plead guilty. He said, yeah, my fingerprints were on that glass cabinet from which the jewellery disappeared, but I was in there with my girlfriend shopping on that day, and I might well have put my hand on the counter, and that might be why my fingerprints are there. I didn't know whether the jury was going to believe him or not, because every decision a jury makes is an act of faith. They weren't there. They didn't know. They listen to the evidence and they make a step of faith, which is not entirely dissimilar from what it means to put your faith in Christ. You make a decision and you take a step of faith. It's not irrational. It's not a blind leap of faith. It's a step of faith based on evidence. But I didn't know whether they would take that step of faith or not. They did. They convicted him. And then a police officer testified. Went into the witness box and he testified to something that they weren't allowed to know when they were making that decision, and that is this man's previous convictions, which ran to 2.5 pages for stealing jewellery from department stores. And he was awaiting trial for 2 further cases of stealing jewellery from department stores. And you could see the look on the jury's faces. Just relief. They knew. They'd taken a step of faith, but then they knew. And inviting Jesus in is a step of faith. But when he comes in, the Holy Spirit testifies. He testifies to our spirit that we are children of God and that we're loved by him. I have 3 children, and they're all grown up now, but I remember one time when I was going through, I've got 2 sons and my youngest is a daughter. My daughter was 13 at the time. And I was going through her school reports. And, you know, I'm far from a model parent in any area, so I'm not putting this forward as a model at all. It's probably completely the wrong way to go through your children's reports. But I always feel that children are made to work far too hard, and I'd always give them the advice, don't work too hard. And I always think their reports, any teacher who criticized them, I just didn't believe it at all. And I always thought they were fantastic, and so I was going through the reports, and I was just saying to my daughter, you know, you're fantastic, you're amazing. And she was going, yeah, but I didn't do very well at French. And I was saying, oh, you're just so fantastic, you know. I'm so, you know, I'm completely biased, prejudiced. I just think she's absolutely amazing. I said, I think you're absolutely amazing. I love you. I adore you. I love you because I love you. She must have been so embarrassed. Can you imagine at 13? But I said, I love you. I love you because I love you. And I found at that moment something happened to me. Because as I go through life, I often feel a failure. I feel I've messed up, I've failed again. And at that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit witness to my spirit and say, don't you realize that I love you even more than you love your own child? I love you because I love you. That's how we know that we're in a relationship with God. We know it because of the promises of God. He will come in. We know it because of the death of Jesus for us, what he did for us. And we know it because the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. May we pray. Again, I want to give people an opportunity. You may just want to be quiet for a moment, and you may say you're not ready to pray, but again, there might just be one person here who would like to pray. And I want to pray a prayer similar to the one that I prayed last week. And Jesus is alive. He's here tonight. You can pray this in your heart. Echo it in your heart. To say, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you love me so much. Thank you that you stand at the door of my life and you knock. And tonight, I want to invite you in. I turn away from all the bad stuff in my life, all the things that I know are not right, that I'm sorry for them, and I ask your forgiveness. Thank you that you died for me on the cross so that I could be totally forgiven, the slate could be wiped clean, and that I can make a new start. And tonight I put my trust in you. I ask you to come in and to fill me with your Holy Spirit, to help me to lead the kind of life that deep down I long to lead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Oh, listening friend, if you prayed that prayer and are beginning in that faith journey of following the Lord Jesus Christ, I rejoice with you. As it says in Luke, the angels rejoice in the throne room of God when a sinner repents. And that sinner is you, that sinner is me. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and we need the redemptive work that Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. I hope you enjoyed these 2 days of broadcasts with Nikki Gumbel addressing the topic, How Can I Be Sure of My Faith? Because God wants us to be assured of our forgiveness and eternity with Him. Assurance comes from taking God at His word and not by trusting our feelings. We have the Word of God, the work of Jesus, and the witness of the Spirit to remind us, reinforce our faith, and be that foundational block that helps us know the evidence of our faith is true. Now, if you're unsure of where you stand with a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some great people that would love to talk with you. It's a free call, so spend a little time on the phone with these wonderful people. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. Thank you for listening to this broadcast, which is a segment from an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find an Alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast on Great News Radio, produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, Alpha Talks copyright 2002-2006. Well, next Monday and Tuesday, Nikki Gumbel will be addressing why and how do I pray. So I hope you can join me during the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends to continue in this series, The Alpha Course, on Great News Radio. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.